One thing is certain, hell will produce its own Messiah. Paul was certain of the schedule and the personality by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. So, we should begin to look. Paul issues an ultimatum. That day shall not come except. He says the day of the Lord will not arrive until first the great revolt and second the Messiah from hell is unveiled. This supreme actor on the stage of history should make his appearance at any moment. He wants to be the only object of worship. He will replace all religion with himself. He will choose the Jewish temple to sit as God. Satan merely tempted Judas at first, but afterwards he incarnated him. Satan will literally enter this human being. Paul tells the believers that what hinders this unveiling is that there is one who restrains. Suddenly the restrainer and the restraint will be removed. Paul says the Messiah from hell will be the consummation of the mystery of lawlessness to which mankind cannot find a solution within itself. Paul warns that the consummation will be all-powerful with all authority and signs and lying wonders. It will be the finesse of deceit with all deceivableness of unrighteousness is how Paul describes it. The time, the circumstances, the will which produce this unveiling is a social rejection of the truth. The public choice prevails and an era of strong delusion prevails. It is this culture, the desire, the will to believe a lie and to have pleasure in unrighteousness, which produce the time and acceptance for the Messiah from hell. His short but devastating appearance will be the prelude for judgment, that they might be damned. This personality, ready to be revealed, will open his mouth in blasphemy against God. His statement will be a bold and contemptuous denial of God, who opposeth God. It is the final realization of war declared in Genesis, I will put enmity, and this is the full bloom of that hatred. Satan gives him power. He offered this same deal to Jesus. All these things, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, will I give thee. This man becomes Satan's instruments, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He is supported and advanced by corporate power. These shall have one mind, and shall give them their power and strength unto the beast. Why? We're told God puts in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree to give their kingdoms to the Messiah from hell. It will be an interlocking, massive, worldwide cartel, an agreement of authority to deceive mankind, to mislead the human race, and an international plot to destroy all moral incentive in the pleasure of unrighteousness. His public claim and credential are that he is Jehovah, that he physically and literally is the God of the Jews. He will claim to be the Christians' God. He will be the crowning effort to what Caesars, emperors, czars, entertainment stars, dictators have striven to be, accepted as out of this world an exception to mankind. And his coming is in two stages. He arises out of the sea. He arises out of the abyss. He is man, and he is the concept of hell. He becomes the perfect manifestation of evil. He is not a demon. He is a human being totally surrendered to evil. His administration is for 7 years. 3.5 years are spent in consolidating power. 3.5 years are spent in the exercise of power. God used a span of 7 to create, and hell will use a span of 7 to dissipate and terminate. He has a coming, or a parousia, as the Greek New Testament describes it. And God has commandeered all the resources of heaven to unveil or reveal his Son to earth in due season. And hell anticipates this and schedules its own unveiling. Hell says, This is the man for whom you've been looking and about which so much has been written and spoken. Jesus received authority from his Father to perform miracles. This man will receive power from hell to reinforce the claims made for him. The Holy Spirit points mankind to Jesus. He convinces. The false prophet will mobilize public opinion for the beast. The complete media will be used to focus upon and to build this image with all lying wonders. Now, Christ is the Lamb. This man is the beast. One represents redemption, the other represents degeneracy. One destroys sin, one advances sin. It is a confrontation. Truth must triumph. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Paul defines the attitude and the position of the believer for this stage in history. We request you by the coming of the bodily presence of our Lord and by our gathering unto him. What is the request? Paul uses the picture in gathering of a hen gathering her chickens, and he requests that the believer be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. I am a believer in that gathering unto him. I know the big event for the believer is going to happen, and heaven is going to do the gathering. I'm content to let the selection and inclusion rest upon that authority. It involves resurrection and translation. Later after this event, Christ will gather the elect of Israel. Jesus pronounced judgment on their house and declared that they would not in no wise see him until they say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Israel has not said this yet. So it is evident that he has not gathered them yet, and will not until they see his face. Now let me read to you the entire passage. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, Israelis, you shall not see me henceforth till ye, Israelis, say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And that's going to be the biggest turnaround in the history of Israel. Paul could not be more plain nor stronger about the sequence as the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. He faced the same agitation in Thessalonica as we face. Some were teaching that the believer must persevere through the tribulation. They believed that the day of the Lord had not been preceded by the personal return of Jesus. And he warns, "Let no man beguile you or befool you or lead you astray by making a false impression." He tells his fellow believers that the day of the Lord is not imminent in that time, but would take place after certain important events would transpire. He identifies the two, the great revolt and the Messiah from hell. This personality to be revealed is cultured in sin. He is the product of sin, a son of perdition. He spawns from the corrupt, the foul, the dark, the damned. It is the era of the great revolt, rebellion, a falling away that produces him. He exalts himself. The pronoun is the key. It is pride unlimited, just like the devil, his sponsor. The arrogancy is intolerable. Who opposeth, Paul says. Who and what does he oppose? And how is he the opposite? And to whom? The answer is Jesus. And that is why he is called Antichrist. Pride is opposite to humility. Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." The Messiah from hell sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he will be the biggest show-off in the history of man. And there have already been some big ones. He uses all the trappings. He sets himself forth as God publicly, predicating himself of divine substance and worthiness of adoration. And it is evident that God and not a world system controls the moment of his revelation, just as the Father himself allocates the day and the hour of Christ's return. These cannot be manipulated by church system or world system. These two end time dates are beyond the authority of the either. Only the sequence is set and foretold. to the end that he may be revealed in his own time or season, who holds down the feverish fulfillment of the mystery of iniquity, he is a person of great authority. No legislation, no presbytery, no institution, no government is capable. And yet there is a check today. There is God's until to comfort and motivate the believer. The Messiah from hell cannot take the stage, sir. He cannot move or muscle his way until permitted. God always runs this check on hell and Satan. He did so in the case of Job. He does so in the matter of stress and strain on the believer. His appointed season is determined and defined and limited. Now, we're functioning by the grace and support of God in the midst of mystery. It is not something for the tribulation. It is now, doth already work. The word work is the key. We see the results every day. Perversion, abortion, drug abuse, infidelity, cheating, greed, snobbery, violence. There is a deadly virus, and the threat multiplies every 24 hours. It's bigger than the taxpayer's allotment for protection. Something is shaping in sin and iniquity. That is evident. So you can't change the circumstances till you change the man who creates the circumstances. The ultimate product of iniquity is that man of sin, the son of hell or perdition. Now look on our streets, mister, and see for yourself what is slowly taking outline and form, and you will begin to decode the mystery and the sense in your eternal spirit what is rapidly working to achieve. The Lord willing and sparing me to minister to you 1 week from now, I'll be back to bring you part two of this Bible subject, Hell's Messiah. Now bless him who has provided us with restraint. No one is turned away. You and your problem are treated by heaven with so much respect. Has any person with his or her problem ever received in Bible record? No. So come boldly in these next 10 seconds. Pastor Jacob Tampuri tells us about the long, long altars that reaches him and his people there in Ghana, West Africa. He says, "Thank you, Brother Ward, for writing and encouraging me personally. Our crowds are increasing, results as well. I visited one of our smaller communities, and while I was preaching, the people brought a little four-year-old girl to me, demon-possessed. I set the little one free in the name of Jesus. The parents had sought help from four medical centers in our nation, and they could not heal the child. But Jesus did what man could not do. The Holy Spirit used the healing to stir the community, and a number were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe Jesus meant what he promised. We should do greater things." Now bring your problem to Jesus here at the long, long altar. Heavenly Father, how much you care for us. We are the fortunate ones to be disciples of thy only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth, Redeemer, Messiah. Jesus, I am thy minister. I ask for the sick. I feel thy compassion toward the oppressed, the crippled, the fatigued, the terrorized, the handicapped. Thou art never offended to be called the shelter in the time of storm. So we hurry to thee, and I thank thee for thy big, big welcome. I exalt thee as surgeon physician. Thy record is beyond dispute. I pray for the loser. This person is at the edge of abyss. Of what's the use? No one thinks that I can. I've tried. I can't make it. Jesus, reach all the way to that loser. Please, dear Savior. I pray for the manufacturer. He's caught between strikes, rising costs, taxes for raw materials, competitive foreign markets, uncertain political climate. It's making an old man out of this manufacturer, and this man needs help, your help, dear God. And so we all come. Bless this crowd at the long, long altar. Save us from our sins and our sorrows. Keep the eastern gate ajar for us, dear Jesus. Amen. Oh, Jesus is so wonderful. Our Savior is present in resurrection authority. He does move through closed doors and appear at will. He's put all opposition underfoot. Jesus is absolute victor. Now this friend of sinners and of saints establishes his identity in the meeting at this hour by lifting the oppression of terrifying dreams that a certain woman in this audience has suffered for a long time. This lady has grown weary, colorless because of this nighttime fright which shatters her rest. And Jesus is now pleased to make himself known by instantly releasing this woman from any further fright, any other night riders. She'll sleep undisturbed tonight. I'm so thankful for you. Give your witness to the love of the Master for you, lady. This is the meeting. Joanne Gunderson of Iola, Wisconsin, loves the meeting. Their 26-year-old son seemed to have difficulty holding a job, but that changed at the long, long altar. Now the report is he can't seem to work enough. He loves his job, and his employers are happy with him. Now this is where the Spirit of the Lord is, loved and appreciated, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We love the Book of Acts way of living. The blessed Holy Spirit has reached you and brought you to us for fellowship. And we believe there will be a change in every cemetery on earth. The dead in Christ shall rise. What happens next will be too fast for a phone call. The Lord's people must be ready. And it's accomplished in the Holy Ghost. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.